Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I am your interim host sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And I have to say, I am so excited to be here today because I'm surrounded by amazing, awesome people. This is how to start off the weekend. Seriously. Dave, how are you? And I'm asking that on many levels.
I am doing okay. I did have to go visit my eye doctor this morning, so if I look kind of weird, I had another injection in my eye, so it's a little blurry, but I had to be around among friends to keep the moral support up. And so if I look kind of weird, and you look kind of blurry in this eye, but the other eye looks clear, so that's why. So, but doing well.
How many fingers am I holding up?
I see. Yeah, put them together so they make me blur. But as I mentioned pre-show, my company is doing a global wellness day or a global well-being day, whatever we call it. So the entire company's off today, so which was a nice thing. Nice. So,
yeah, so that's great. And I'm glad that the timing worked out so that you can hang out with us today.
Absolutely.
And if Jeff looks blurry, that's just how he looks.
Yeah,
I'm just also in real life, right?
That's true.
In real life, it's no, weird. I'm kidding. People see me in real life, and they try and adjust the focus.
Just kind of turn them down a little bit.
I was just relieved that Jeff held up only fingers.
Yeah, you try to blur me out here. Oh, don't give him any ideas.
We might need an explicit tag.
And we might need the brain wipe.
And a brain wipe. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Ben, it's good to see you back. How are you?
I'm still in the moving phase, so I will definitely need the brain wipe.
I can appreciate that.
Yep. And one of those cortisone injections in my back.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I can appreciate that too. Yep.
Or a new back.
Yes.
Maybe or knee.
Yeah, and pretty much every other part of my body that has
just been... get a replacement body.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. What
get
I
the
found...
T body, right? Instead of the T car.
Oh yeah. See, what I found is that moving TVs, dressers, and TV stands sucks.
Yeah, that'll do. Mm-hmm. That. Mm-hmm. I won't do that.
I'm especially if stairs are involved.
Yeah, oh, and they are.
Yep. Exactly. Yep.
Ben, take my advice. Get yourself, just spend a little money and get yourself one of those therapeutic guns that, you know, and just go with a cheap one. But they really do make a difference.
Now, since we're in the United States, we need to clarify what that means. That is not a 45 semi-auto.
No. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
Okay, my thought was going in the other direction, but yeah.
Your mind's in the gutter, yeah. Patrice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the other direction, you're going to get a lot more productive use out of, and. Mm-hmm.
And or pleasure.
Feel good.
Patrice, no.
There goes the explicit gag.
I know what Patrice is thinking about. No, it's not. I mean, those things, they beat the daylights out of you. But
well, then you need to turn the setting down just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. No, because that's the thing. I
mean, but when you find the sweet spot, Chuck, you'll know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, forget it. Oh, good God. You guys are all drawn in the wrong direction. I can't. Man. Oh.
Take your mind off your back, that's for sure. Anyhow, Mr. Massage Man, Chuck, how are you?
I'm great. I'm not even going to share any more things like that with you guys because it just doesn't go well.
I tell you what, I think I need to go find a different cool thing for today. Sorry, Chuck.
Other than that, things are good here. My brain is fried. It's Friday, and I just need a little downtime.
Yeah.
With my therapeutic gun. Yeah.
Yeah. Pew, pew, pew. Patrice, how are you doing?
Well, yeah, my brain is fried too. It's been a bit of a crazy week. I just learned earlier that I'm going to Germany to next week. Like, wow, okay. Hey. Like, we supposedly have a travel ban, like in the company for like cost savings and so on. The usual year end shit.
Mm-hmm.
But well, I'm still going, so someone got approval for that. So that's fun. Like last minute. It's not the last minutes, but it's not as last minute as I know. Like I know some people is like, okay, you're going to New York, and the flight is in 2 hours. Good luck.
Wow.
I've had flights like that.
Wow.
I know someone who for years did that. Like constantly. He basically had a grab bag next to his desk. And when the boss came in and said, "You're going to place X in the US," he would just grab the bag, go to his car, drive to the airport, and go wherever he needed to go. So it's not that last minute, but it's still like short notice. And not that I have anything planned other than the shows next week I'll miss. But it's still like try to find a hotel in that little town with like not even a week's notice. Other than that, I'm good. I'm just so happy it's the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You're here.
Yeah. Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
The weekend. I knew right where you were going.
Yeah. Who will?
It's my favorite.
Who will not be appearing on the show? They are way out of our budget.
Yes. Yeah, unfortunately, yes. I wish I could get him like as my replacement on the show, but then I mean, I fear you would not want me back. So,
yeah, Patrice, if you can get Daniel Craig to come and sit in for you, I mean that would be really cool. I'm sure
it would
that
be.
He'd be a lot of fun to have on the show. Mm-hmm. Not the same as you, but I mean, still fun.
Yeah, but as I said, I'm not sure you would want me back then because I mean you have Daniel freaking Craig, so like why do you meet me? So
I mean it's like Patrice is awesome, but she'll never have a license to kill that we know of,
and I don't want one. So not good.
Well, I mean, okay, yeah, Daniel freaking Craig, sure, but Patrice freaking Brind'Amour, come on.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Ben, I didn't know we had a budget, so thank you for informing me.
Well, the budget is zero.
Yeah, there is the budget. Still is free. Budget.
I guess as long as we're here, we should hit the the main topics of the show. Anyhow, Daniel Craig. No, wait. the Bank of Apple. Let's start Bank there. Of Apple.
Yeah, and since I wanted to talk about that because Bob Beach is in the chat and he, like a couple of weeks ago, said, "Oh, Apple is never going to be a bank. They would need bank accounts." Well,
they still aren't a bank.
They're still not a bank, but they've made a step towards bank accounts.
If I had
Goldman Sachs, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If I had a dollar over the last 25 years, every time someone said Apple would never. And then they did it.
Yeah, exactly.
I could retire right now.
Yeah.
That is true. Yeah.
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 Yeah. It's, and I mean, add into that the times that Apple has said, "We will never," and then they do.
Yeah.
They will say, "We will never," 5 seconds before they do it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Apple will never release a phone. Apple will never release a tablet, netbook thingy. Apple will never switch to Intel. Apple will never switch to ARM. This could be the entire show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean Bob Beach is saying it's not a current account. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I know it's not there yet, but it's going in that direction. Apple is now managing something similar to a bank account. It's still with Goldman Sachs. It's still like them handling it actually on the back end, but Apple is taking care of all the front end, like the UI and how everything works. So, I mean. Not Which saying is, it's happening the next year, but...
Yeah, but, Patrice, this is something that a lot of us would like to see Apple do more of because Apple mm-hmm. does it so well. Put mm-hmm. a front end on things that don't have good front... Yeah, yeah, on front ends. I mean,
yes.
pick an industry and you know, the front ends on most industries are terrible because mm-hmm. they're designed by that industry, not by UI designers. And so the other thing mm-hmm. too, that when I saw this, I kind of got excited, not mm-hmm. for the reason that you guys are thinking, but it feels like Apple is potentially getting into this game, but they're able to avoid to a significant degree, I would think, all the banking regulations and issues that, you know, come with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think they still have to do some things, but I mean, on the other hand, they already have to deal with some regulations already because they're doing payment processing, for example.
Right.
Oh yeah, yeah, of some, but not full blown. Not all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, regulatory stuff that banks go through.
I think the Apple Cash Card started with.
Oh, go ahead, Dave.
I'll say the Apple Cash Card started with I just discovered as their banker for the Apple mm-hmm. Card, and I believe they moved over to Visa. So they're still partnering.
Yeah, yeah. As I said, like I mean, I think what you're seeing here is a long-term plan for Apple to take over what Goldman Sachs is doing right now. As I said, I'm not saying it's going to happen anytime soon, but I think Apple is big enough that they can, and they I think want to control that.
It's all services.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so here's the idea that I came up with last night while I was laying in bed and you know, thinking about Chuck's guns. BankKit.
There you go.
Bank job.
He had an hypothesis.
Yeah, I had a hypothesis. My hypothesis is BankKit. And why not do for the banking industry what Apple is doing for the health industry and create the whole front end? So you have a really good interface that links all of your different asset things together. So checking account, saving account, credit cards, other investments. And then you have a single interface for managing all of that. And if you're dealing with multiple banks, you can have multiple banks in that same interface.
And only for a small fee of 30%, you can use that all.
There you go.
Jeff, can I play devil's advocate to that?
Sure.
I love the idea as a consumer, but if I were a bank, I mean, the health industry doesn't seem to have the same competition mindedness that the banking industry does. I mean, Bank A wants me to come to and do my banking mm-hmm. there. So, you know, they create incentives for me to come to that bank. It might mm-hmm. be a sign-on incentive. It might be, you know, extra or a better interest rate or whatever. I'm not sure that the medical industry has exactly that same mindset.
No.
And so that would, I would wonder how much pushback, but how much cooperation that Apple would get from banks.
Well, currently quite a lot because Goldman Sachs, I mean, you see it with Apple Pay. Like if you'd asked me, I would have said probably with Apple Pay, Apple is going to have a hard time getting that rolled out. But I mean, it took a while and I think some banks in some countries probably needed some extra like push. But you see that it was actually rolled out to, I think at this point, most banks in the world. Not every, but most.
Yeah, I will say the one thing with Goldman Sachs, though, prior to the Apple Card, they were strictly a business bank. They really didn't have any direct consumer products. So dealing with Apple gave them an opportunity. For your hometown bank and trust or street corner credit union.
I mean, and they're not above making money. I mean, and that's something I see. Like I watch the fintech space quite a bit and you see that a lot in fintech that they like the startups because of all the regulations and because it takes one, a lot of money and two, a lot of time to get all the approvals. They usually partner with a bank and there seem to be enough banks out there who are like open to they're like, okay, what do we care? We make money. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And then when the startup is not a startup anymore and it has grown to a certain size, they become and have like gone through all the like all the stuff that they have had to go through to like, get all the approvals and so on, they become their own banks. And I am actually a customer of such a bank. Like N26, and there's like a couple others in the world. Like this is not new, what Apple is doing here.
I'd like to point out that Bob Beach is giving me validation. Thank you, sir. In the chat room, he's saying Apple may very well offer a front end apt banking services. That's not an actual bank,
but that's also not what they're doing.
Yeah,
no, so far. But this could be a step towards that.
Yeah, but they're offering right now. No, actually, no, I don't think so. Because right now, they're offering actually their own services on top. If that was the case, then they would have simply said, okay, we're going to partner with, I don't know, Capital One seems to be a good example because they seem to be quite forward-thinking from what I've seen at least. So we partner with Capital One, but we're going to provide the app for Capital One and they provide the backend. They would have done that, or even with Goldman Sachs, and say, okay, like we're going to provide the app, and you're going to provide the entire front end. But there's no Apple branded service. They just say, well, there's the wallet app or whatever, like, and that's it. But they have their own card now. They have a savings account. They're definitely going into the extra services and into the definitely bank space from a service perspective.
That's a really solid argument that really, really takes the wind out of my hypothesis.
Yeah. And to Bob Beach's point, it is not just the front end to a Goldman Sachs account. Yes, there is Goldman Sachs behind it. Yes, it does the banking, the bank stuff of that. But it's actually Apple services. It's an Apple branded card. It's an Apple branded like savings account now. It's not a Goldman Sachs account that you can use with Apple. And you say, oh, we're partnering with Goldman Sachs to do that.
Bob Beach disagrees with you, Patrice.
Yeah, he can disagree with me. But like I said, we'll see in the next probably 10 years. It's not a short-term thing.
Well, getting in the banking industry is not a short-term project anyhow. You don't see people doing a startup business and just making a bank. Well, not very often.
I mean, what I could see the next step for this is going with an Apple branded debit card.
They could, or they could just roll that into the Apple card and say, you can get an Apple card, but like for some people, it's a debit card, and for some people, it's full-on credit card.
It's possible. I mean, that you know, they're looking at all the other services that they're offering. Why not? I mean, it's going to take them a long time. We know how Apple is when they look at something; it takes them a long time to look at this. I mean, good example is the Apple Card. Is that happening? Is it not? You know, same thing with banking. You know, you just don't dive in and create a bank. Here we have Apple Bank.
Yeah. And they still haven't rolled that out to any other country.
That's the other thing. Yeah, they've kept it strictly to the United States. So
you know, which Goldman Sachs, I mean, is operating in other countries. So
yeah, they're worldwide. Could've. So yeah, it's interesting why they've opted to that.
You know, does that have anything to do with regulations and asking? Oh, yeah. Because I honestly don't know.
I think Bob Beach said that in chat there about regulation there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I've been looking at this for a long time, and so they need to have an angle to make money with it. You know, it's because it really would not be a core service. So it would be, unless they can integrate it in some way to being a core service, to make it easier for any of us to purchase their services or their products. Yep. So I just to say that, oh yeah, Apple's going to become a bank, just like Apple's going to get into this or get into that. They have to have an angle before they do that.
Well, I mean, here would be the angle on this with Apple being having an essentially an Apple branded financial institution. Let's just say they make a one, like half a percent on all your purchases or something. Or you get special Apple perks similar to the Apple card under a debit card. That makes people a lot more likely to purchase directly from Apple than a third party retailer.
Yeah. I mean, wasn't there a story even that Apple set up a separate for the buy now pay later thing? I think they said yes. Even set up a separate like a separate legal entity for that.
They would have had to.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. I mean, they would have had to, but it also made sense. But as I said, I like all of those things for me. And I said, I know Bobby just is agreeing, and we'll see. I'm not saying I have any clue. It's just there's too many little steps that I'm seeing towards that direction to say. I don't think it's just because, I don't know, they like credit cards or something. They for sure like money. I think we know that.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. I mean, this is another way they can add to their services budget, mm-hmm. which is becoming increasingly more important.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I mean, the other part of that I was thinking about is Apple itself has a heck of a lot of money worldwide. And oh, I'm guessing right now it's in other banks' hands, and I could totally see them not wanting to do that anymore.
Create the
I don't know if Apple that makes sense. I mean that Apple. I mean that I don't know. Like maybe whether that makes sense at all. Like that could be that's a whole other side of this business that I'm not sure about.
Well, anyway you take it, the regulatory requirements. I mean the regulatory requirements in the US are insane. And mm-hmm. so
you know, same in Europe. No,
I would think they have to be in every country.
Yeah.
And yeah. So
some countries, you know, more than others. As, I mean, we know.
Yeah. And so does Apple want to, I mean, do they want, because the overhead has to, it's no wonder they have to make money because of what mm-hmm. it costs to administer the regulations. So, you know, does Apple want to get in that, or do they want to partner with somebody, let them handle that and take, you know, their piece of the pie for comparatively little work?
Mm-hmm.
Comparatively little financial work, maybe is the best way to say it.
Yeah. All right. So if we look at what Apple's doing in the banking space as a parallel to what they're doing in the car space, maybe they've already telegraphed exactly what they're doing, and people are trying to spin it into something more than it is. So look at what Apple's doing in the car space right now. They gave us CarPlay, and they've announced their whole new interface system that car manufacturers can adopt for the next version of CarPlay. What if they're just doing the same thing here in the banking space, where they're not going to make the car, they're not going to make the bank, they're just going to put the services on top of the bank that's already there, and that's okay. As far as they're going.
That could be.
Yeah, so they're not going to make a lot of the banking products you buy. They're going to make a lot of the banking products you buy better.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Someone I mean, should use that.
Just they did. Just like they didn't become their own carrier, which they, I think, thought about and could have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is actually a good argument against that. As I said, it's just very curious that Apple is taking so many steps into that space that they didn't need to. But yeah, I mean, only Apple knows what they're really planning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, if they even know. It could also be that they don't even know.
Well, I'm going to wear this as a badge of honor. Bob Beach is agreeing with me on something that relates to the finance industry. Yeah, I mean, we could just end the show right here and I'll consider the day a win.
Okay, I'm more than happy to be wrong about this. Time will tell.
Yeah, we'll revisit this at some point, and we'll be able to point out who nailed it and who didn't.
Yeah, I mean, do we need another bank? No, we don't.
There's lots of banks out there.
Exactly.
But boy, that Apple credit card sure looks pretty.
God, that Apple credit card is great. Mm-hmm. I never use it, like the physical card. Never use it. It's great.
Yep, I'm waiting to choose between Apple Card, Apple Card Pro, Apple Card Max, and Apple Card Ultra.
Apple Card Pro Max. I want the Pro Max. How big is it? Like,
come on, what card gives you this sound?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know what? Let's not overlook that. Not the sound, but let's not overlook the fact that when Apple started Apple Pay, they brought something relatively new to that particular space. Mm-hmm. I mean, the tap to pay was, you know, was in the cards and all, but Apple brought their integration of the watch and the phone and the reporting and the monitoring and all those things to it.
They brought one extra thing. So that's something that I think most people don't know. Apple was, I think, one of the first to use a new card processing standard. Like, they didn't invent it. It was already there, but nobody was using it. Where, you know, the whole system where basically every transaction has their own card number. And even if you skim the card number, you never get anything. That was something that Apple used first. Said they didn't invent it. It was already a standard. This was just like, I think even the tap to pay, like the NFC cards today, right. I think they still don't use that. They still transfer. Yeah, no, that's definitely true. They still transfer your physical card number.
Which is a random number. It's not the same number. So when you use it.
Yeah. I mean, there's always been like a transaction number, and there's like the whole system is a little bit more complicated, but the number that is used basically for your card, like your card number. In Apple Pay, it gets basically generated every time. But only in Apple Pay. If you, like any other place, you still use the physical card number.
Even with the card itself, I mean, they're about the only card issuer that I know of that doesn't put any information on the card except your name. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't see that
in
any card issues that I have. Any of the cards that I have, every other card has my account number on it. Mm-hmm. Or it could be easily stolen, but... I use my Apple card. I don't care. I could change the number and send me a new card and keep going.
I've had that in a couple of hotels. They were like, for some reason, they wanted a physical card. And they were turning it around. And like, where's the card number? No, they didn't have that. Like, they had, like,
I know, it was I'm all just electronic. Kidding,
but for some reason, they wanted the card number. And I'm like,
okay, let me pull out my phone. I can give you it from my phone.
But there's no physical card number on it. I mean, it turned around four times. Like,
I think the other thing too I see with the Apple Card is I'm seeing integration with purchases when something you buy is shipped to you. I just bought something it's in the wallet, and I'm like, oh, that is awesome! I can go right to just tap the little button, and there's the order that's shipped to me. I mean,
I was very surprised that it even works here, because I mean, stuff might work in the U.S. and like, I mean, it's like literally one shop that I get notifications from. But hey, it works.
But not every vendor is doing it. So that was that's why I was kind of excited. See, there's the little icon up to the next to the wall at the top there. You tap it, and it gives you a list of all the orders you've placed.
And all the details, what you ordered exactly, and all of that. Yeah. It's really cool.
But that's where feedback is going to have to be given to vendors to adopt that we as consumers find that useful.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, how many times do we get? I just participated in a discussion a couple weeks ago about the fact that a particular service that several of us use, not here but in that environment, you know, every single time you use it, you get a survey, you know, an email survey. Well, it was good to see you this morning. You know, how did we do? And it just becomes. I mean, the first time you do it, it's like, okay, good, thank you. But you know, the then it becomes spam, and it's flat out annoying. And so, you know, the only way to do that is either ignore it or push back and say, stop. You know, I don't mind you asking me once or twice a year, but every single time I use your service, no, thank you.
Yeah,
spam.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'm going to move this on.
Okay.
Unless you have a point that's really important to make.
No, we can move.
Okay. And the only reason I'm moving us on is because we've been on this so long, and I want to make sure we get at least one other topic in here. And this is a topic that when I first saw the news, I was like, oh, interesting. And then Patrice like sends me a link almost immediately. We need to talk about this. And she's right. Apple is doing an Ask Apple series for developers. It's coming up next week as we record.
Monday.
Yeah, so Thank it's a you. Bunch of sessions for developers where they can learn about a bunch of different topics related to the development process, and this looks very interesting. One thing that I have not seen in this, and maybe I've just missed it, I don't think they have a session for automation.
I don't see it.
I don't remember anything. But I mean, honestly, from a developer perspective, it would show up in a lot of other places. Like, it's not a for developers, not a it could be a dedicated topic for some developers for sure. But for most, it's probably part of another topic, part of Swift UI, for example. But yeah, that's a good point. They might come up with more. Like, if they see that a certain topic is interesting, they would come up with more. But it's really cool. Like, they started that 2 years ago. Yeah, 2020. Like, the first dub, because they wanted to do something. Like, get people together. So I think they had, like a small... I think they did it in their forums, and that wasn't super successful.
Yeah, now they're using Slack. Now they're using Slack to do
this. And last year and this year they used Slack. So last year they started that, and very, very simple, and it was very successful. But it was still like you could still tell, okay, they were still figuring things out. But I mean, Apple is internally using Slack. I know that. So for them, it was quite natural to use that. And this year it was amazing. Like, people, I mean, it was, as I said, last year was kind of like the test balloon. They had like some things, and it was still, yeah, okay. It was more a get together, and yeah, here and there would be a question, but it wasn't very structured yet. This year it was very structured. They had little events and coding, like you could code together, and there was areas where you could just have fun together, and there was areas where you could ask questions, and the teams would come in and then answer them. And I mean, it was the easiest way if you found a bug like day one, or if you had a bug before, even if it wasn't in the betas, but it was something that you had been struggling with. You have refiled the radar and not gotten the right attention, and because you're not one of the few people who knows a lot of people at Apple that can pass along the things at the right channels, you don't know how to get to them. That was the easiest way. And I filed like, I think, 5 or 10 things, and I passed them right to the right team because you just had them in the channel. They were like, hey, please file the radar and then give me the number. Like, sure, here's the number. Stuff like that. And we have been asking for, I mean, one, we asked Apple to, we, and I say we as in the developer community, we asked Apple to have those questions or the answers available for a time, and they did. So I think I don't remember when they closed the Slack channel completely, but they basically made it read-only for a time so that everybody could basically take the screenshot or whatever they wanted and get the information out before it disappears. But we asked and reset, and it was, I think, one of the feedback that they got. We want this more often. We need chances to, one, interact with each other, which is important, but also interact with teams at Apple and ask questions and get feedback and pass along those important bugs. And that's a surprise. I thought, okay, it will mean next year, maybe the year after, like maybe Christmas, like eventually we'll get it, but it might take some time. Nope, they're right back. I mean, that's 3 months later, roughly, June, July, August, well, 4 months later. We have
I think this is good. And
it's awesome.
To me, this is a very positive sign, on another level too, because I have historically looked at Microsoft as the poster child for developer support.
Yes, which is surprising given that Apple invented the developer relations.
Right.
The role and so on.
And yeah, but unfortunately, the last few years, they haven't been all that good at it.
The last decade or two, I think, since Guy left.
Yeah. So it's great to see this because it feels to me like Apple is really getting it again.
Mm-hmm.
And offering really solid support options for developers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's key to having a solid platform.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I have no factual basis for this, for what I'm about to say, but I think a big chunk of that is the developers within Apple. I think especially the last 2 years, and I mean, we've heard some rumblings like from rumors and so on, that there was something going on in the background, that the developers were not happy with Apple in a lot of areas. And I think, I mean, there are kind of two things that I've noticed. One, developers, or like anybody at Apple, is way more active on Twitter nowadays. Like it used to be that basically someone would go to Apple and they would disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing, like complete radio silence. I mean, not even personal posts. In some cases.
Yeah, we used to call the PR department the black hole.
Yeah.
Because you'd send in a media request and you would never hear anything ever.
Yeah. And as I said, it's the same for developers or for like anybody joining Apple. Like they would just disappear. And I mean, they still don't talk about a lot of things, but they do talk about their work sometimes. Like you see that, like when something is released. And then all of a sudden, like all the people working for Apple, they pop up and say, hey, like this is what I worked on the last 6 months or 2 years or whatever. And I'm so proud of this. And it's so great to see that people are happy with their work and they want to show that. And they get the chance to do that. And it's not, oh, this has to go through Apple PR all the time. I'm pretty mm-hmm. sure there are rules in the background. Now I know there are rules in the background and what they can say and they can't say, can and can't say and all of that. But I think that's one change that you're seeing, that there, I mean, people are allowed to have blogs and blog posts and posts on Twitter and all of that.
And personalities.
have personality. And I think this is the other part that we're seeing, that I think the developers want to interact with other people and get that information and get that feedback and see what's happening. And as I said, not have it filtered through, again, PR or podcasts or news articles or radar or feedback assistant now. Like, I think it's still radar in the background, but like to tickets, because you lose so much if you go those routes.
Yeah, I think that was
the big thing with DubDub. That was the one time in the year where you could actually talk to a human being in Apple and get your concerns heard.
Mm-hmm.
Ben, you wanted to say something?
I completely forgot my train of thought.
I'm sorry.
Well, anyhow, I'm glad that Apple's doing this. And what I'm hoping is that this becomes a thing where it just happens on a regular basis. So people know when to expect the next one of these events to come up. And, you know, maybe it's a quarterly thing. So 3 quarters, you have the Q&As, and then, and then you have the 1 quarter where it's stepped up.
Yeah. Where they do the Q&As probably as they did, like the digital lounges. It's there anyway. So you have basically mm-hmm. a Q&A every quarter, but one of them is the stepped up edition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would be great. I think, I mean, to some extent, I wish it was all year. But I'm mm-hmm. okay with having it, whatever, every quarter. Like, it's better than never.
Well, if you tried to make it all year, I mean, the people at Apple would never get anything done because they'd be
constantly that is true.
Mm-hmm. That is true. Answering questions. I like the idea that they're making sort of an event, because it's mm-hmm. it feels like the people that, you know, if you have a really, really difficult question, or a problem, you're going to be able to address it here, sort of like DubDub has been.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just, you know, trying to figure out how do I make a blue bar appear on screen, well, no, you don't. This is not the appropriate venue.
Yeah. I mean,
that's true. And it's not, I mean, maybe to clarify that, it's not a free for all. Like, it's not that you like a standard Slack chat and anybody can post and all that. They have tools, basically bots in the background, where you can submit a question, someone looks at it, and if it's something that they want to answer, can answer, is in the scope, is interesting enough, like all of that, they will post it. But if it's something trivial or something where they say, maybe not, you might not see it. I had that happen to me. Everything I've asked, they've posted, but I'm pretty sure that they filter some things out.
It also gives Apple an opportunity to gauge what the problem points are.
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and there are certain times for certain teams. It's not everybody all the time.
Yeah. And I mean, when it comes to, you know, the developer platform and features,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there's going to be definitely things that are isolated to a certain part of the developer community. But then other things that, I mean, if Apple's doing something definitely wrong, Apple wants to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point. That's I've never even thought about that developers could do something wrong. maybe just not the way Apple would prefer it be done, or, you know, take that mistakes a little farther, I guess.
No.
Well, not mistakes, Patrice, but I'm just thinking, you know, if Apple can steer a developer into doing something a particular way because it's going to benefit the ease of upgrading or modifying things mm-hmm. in the future, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and I mean, that's in general with any framework. If you understand how it is intended to be used, like how are the APIs intended to be used, you usually have an easier time than when you're trying to find that. Like if you're trying to do something that Apple never intended and it's not how they envisioned it, you will have a hard time getting it to work. You might find workarounds and you might get it to do the things you want, but it's never going to be easy. So steering people in the direction, hey, this is how we envisioned this, helps in mm-hmm. this case, because it prevents people from doing things that would just cause them issues, because it's not what is planned. I mean, and those people do know what the next thing is. Like, they might not talk about it, but they know what's coming to mm-hmm. some extent.
Mm-hmm. And you know what else is coming? The transition into me talking about TSO hosts. TSO hosts is fantastic because they are here supporting the British Tech Network. They are making it possible for us to live stream shows like this every single week. And they're also giving us the server space we need so that we have a place for the website and for all the recordings, so you can watch or listen whenever you would like, which is fantastic, because without their support, we would not be able to do what we do, because it would just be cost prohibitive. So we really appreciate that TSO Host is here for us. Okay, so now here's your call to action. What you need to do is go out on social media and thank TSO Host for being here to support the British Tech Network. And super easy to do, only takes a minute, and it gives them a little validation so that they can feel even better about what they're doing for us. And that just sounds like a good idea to me, just in general. So go give them some online love. And when you're ready to have a website hosted, or you need to buy a domain name, use TSO Host. And when you get to the checkout part, use the discount code BTN20 and you get 20% off your order. So that's that's pretty generous and pretty awesome. So thank you, TSO Host, for being here for us. And Patrice, I always ask you to tell people where to find the chat room, and I'm not changing that today. Can you please tell people where to find the chat room?
Oh, well, it's super easy. If you're listening to this live right now, like now or in the future, like which you can do every Friday at 4 p.m. for the Mac show, 4 p.m. UK time, I should say, for the Mac show. Also Thursdays, 7 p.m. for the Big Show. If you're into the non-Apple tech stuff, whatever that is, you just head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com to our live chat, and then you can talk to us live. It's that easy. Like Bob Beach is in there, and we're in there, and some other people are in there, can talk to us live and see all the links live and like all the cool thing, the cool things that are coming up, by the way, as well. Mm-hmm. But let's say you are listening to this after the fact in your favorite podcast player of choice, whatever that is, Overcast, Podcasts, Castro, whatever that is. You can still get to the like the links at least, and see what was talked about. Obviously can't live chat with us, because without time travel, that's simply impossible. If you figure that out, please let me know. I have some ideas. But you can still get to that. Head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then there's a little calendar that pops up, and you have to select today's date, which is the 14th of October, 2022. Very easy. 14th of October, 2022. And then you're in, and you can see everything we've talked about.
Awesome. Thank you, Patrice. All right. Before we get into the cool things, I want to remind everyone that we are running dangerously low on money to keep the Daily News Show running. So right now, it takes $385 a month to make the Daily News Show happen. And right now, we're bringing in like $205 a month. So what I would love to see is that we double that. So we're bringing in $410 a month. So we're going just a little bit over what it takes to run the show, so that if we have any cost increase, we have a little bit of a buffer zone to handle that. So let's make that happen. Now, what happens if we don't? Well, if we don't, then October 19th, which is next Wednesday as we record, that's the last Daily News Show. And that would be a travesty for the show to end, because this has been over 13 years of quality news that's done and ready for you by the time you get up in the morning. It's a fantastic resource. Kyle is amazing, and it takes some money to run the show. So for those of you that are already sending in money to support the Daily News Show, thank you. You rock. For those of you that aren't, but you're in a position where maybe you can, please consider doing that, because we would love to keep this show running. And yeah, I don't want to see the Daily News Show end. So please, let's get some more money in so that we can keep the show running past the 19th of October. All right. So now it's time for the cool thing. And who has the first thing? All right. Well, all it's right, been a great show.
I'll jump in. Let me grab the link, because I didn't expect to go first. So in keeping with October and the Halloween theme, I'm going to recommend a TV show. I think we've talked about it before. I don't think I've recommended it, but I just finished the third season of Evil. And if you haven't seen Evil, you really need to go see Evil. This is like the perfect show for the Halloween season, because it is creepy, it's funny, it's disturbing in a very acceptable way. It's the characters are terrific. The actors, you know, portray them wonderfully. It's got twists and turns, and you know, the kind of things that you want in a good series. And if you can take a look at the description, and if it seems a little bit offbeat for you, yeah, that's exactly what it is. That's very offbeat. It's very difficult to explain. But the one of the things that one of the reasons I'm recommending it this time of year is it's creepy enough to be associated with Halloween, but it's not the, you know, necessarily the blood and guts slasher kind of thing where, you know, everybody dies. It's just so well done. And so I cannot highly recommend this. It is just a terrific, terrific thing. And to sample it again for Halloween, it's actually, you know, I don't know about you guys. Sometimes I enjoy binging shows But I really don't want to binge this because I sort of want to absorb each episode and have a little bit of anticipation for a few days. And of course, when it was coming out, it started on network TV. It started on CBS. So the latter seasons get a little more explicit as far as language and all go, but it also is not necessarily gratuitous. So just everything about this show is good. And the link I posted in the show notes is to Rotten Tomatoes, and it has 95% from the critics and 82% from the audience.
Nice.
And so I think that says something about it. And it is coming back for at least a fourth season. That's been confirmed. So, you know, once you finish it, you will have more to look forward to.
Yeah, it's one of Paramount Plus's best shows. That's not Star Trek.
I would agree. Are you a fan, Ben?
I've seen a couple episodes. I've been meaning to get into it hardcore for pretty much 3 years. But, I mean, if you're kind of if you like the show Ghosts and you like the show Supernatural, kind of meet somewhere in the middle and you got Evil.
I didn't realize it had Mike Coulter starring in it. And he's fantastic.
Yeah, he really is. He really is. I had a little trouble with the first couple episodes because I kept seeing Luke Cage as opposed to, you know, as opposed to this character. But now I think if I went the other way, I'd have trouble seeing Luke Cage at first because knowing this character. So, but he is just a phenomenal actor. But the whole cast they play all their parts so well.
That's awesome.
There you go. Something for the Halloween season.
Three seasons to binge.
Well, great. Now I have something else to add to my list.
I'll give you more, Jeff.
Okay, Ben, give me more.
Well, in this case, there's just so much good stuff and I couldn't choose one. So my cool thing is Disney Plus as a whole.
Ben, that's a cop-out. You should have picked something.
But I mean
that's also like a little trick. Pick something every week on from Disney Plus. You have weeks and weeks and weeks of cool things.
I know, but I mean, this week, you like Star Wars? There's Andor, which is one of the best political thrillers I have seen anywhere. She-Hulk just finished up. And if you're into the holiday horror season, Werewolf by Night. Really great adaptation of the source material. The director of that one has actually been a composer for Disney for a lot of the Marvel stuff. He pitched the idea to Kevin of a black and white classic Universal inspired. Yeah.
Stop. This is not a spoiler show. Stop.
But we talked about yesterday, by the way.
The Foggy?
Oh, that was so close. I am glad that I caught that in time.
Yeah. Yep.
But it's so well done and really does a good setup to the monster version of the MCU.
It's on my list to watch, and I just haven't started yet.
Watch it tonight after Evil.
After Evil, okay.
It can be like a full night of Evil.
Night of Evil. Excellent.
It's like going to a political convention.
Now I need a drink. Yeah. Okay, Patrice. I see your link, and I love that show.
Me too. I'm like, the show is that, like me, very fitting for this time of the year. It's kind of a dark, I would say dark comedy, I think describes it best. It is dark. It's basically, I think she's 18-year-old girl, gets hit by the toilet seat from, I think, the ISS. like in the street randomly and dies. And like she gets basically, let's say we could say conscripted to become a Grim Reaper. Like for people who have like in the department where you like they deal with people who have accidental deaths, like and quite gruesome ones. And it's as I said, it's quite dark, but it is so well made. Probably not the best actors, like the main character, the actress is Ellen Muff, I think, Georgia. But it's like Mandy Patinkin, for example, is in there, and there's some really cool actors and actresses in that show. I said not like top notch cast. I mean, Mandy Patinkin is great. So yeah, it's just like it has had such a special place in my heart, and I'm so sad that it ended prematurely. Because they canceled it after two seasons. But it's one of the things I think about. I watch every year again. I really enjoy the stories. I really enjoy the characters and the development of the characters. And as I said, there was a movie made after where they tried to wrap up some things. The movie wasn't great.
Yeah, the movie wasn't that good.
The ending was nice, but the rest was kind of meh. And also because they had to replace some characters like with other actors and so on. I don't know what happened. But yeah, but it's a really great show. It is on some rather strange streaming services. Like you can buy it on Apple TV Plus. It's two seasons. In the US, I see it on Roku, on Tubi, and on Freevee. Also in the UK, whatever that is, on Amazon Prime apparently.
Oh, so it is free.
Yeah. So
with commercials.
Free with commercials, yeah. So as I said, it's dark comedy, but it's really nicely made. The characters are great and I really enjoy it. So Dead Like Me.
That's an awesome show.
Yeah, and it's from like early 2000. So you get also the early 2000 vibe, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, Dave, what's your pick?
I got something simple. I've been using this for years. This is a sleep headphones, you know, like a sleep band. There's so many different companies that make this. It's always the same enjoying little button on the front there. But they're really nice. I mean, you put this headband on. I like to sleep with listening to podcasts or music or whatever. And you can also put it over as a mask, covers your eyes. It's got two little speakers. The speakers quality's decent, not too bad for sleep. It's not a bad thing. And it charges by pulling the wire out of the back of the headband. And then luckily, I've been buying these for years. The previous ones were using the old micro USB, you know, ones that you only have one direction. You would break that pin very easily, and which I did. But it's a cheap thing. I got with a coupon, 20% off. It's like probably about $17 or $18. Good, simple thing. And you can use it for jogging. It's made for, working out, but I'm using it for sleep, or you could also use it for air travel. If you're on a plane, you don't care about having something like AirPods and cover your eyes. You can take a snooze, but they're nice, cheap.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. So my cool thing has changed like three times over the course of the last 90 minutes.
Good.
I decided to ultimately land on something that's TV show related. Okay, so Star Wars Clone Wars, it's an animated series that ultimately ran for 7 seasons, and it takes place between episode 2 and episode and 3 in the movies. And in my opinion, it's some of the best Star Wars ever made. And it gives us the Anakin Skywalker that we should have had. And we get to see how Obi-Wan Kenobi really is such an instrumental part of the Clone Wars. And we get all these amazing characters and really great storytelling in these 20, 25 minute episodes that a lot of people dismissed at the time because they were thinking it's animated, it's a cartoon for kids. And this is, while there are some episodes that are clearly targeting kids, this is not a kids' TV show. The problem is when the show came out, they didn't air the episodes in chronological order. And I'm not sure what was up with that. Maybe it had to do with production schedules, or I don't know. But I mean, we're talking about episodes that that should have been at the beginning, but were actually aired in like season three. And that first season is especially bad because there's like so little that that's actually shown in the correct order. So eventually we get the chronological order list for watching the Clone Wars. And so there's a website for that. And of course it's on the Star Wars website, and it's great. So if you haven't watched Clone Wars animated series, check it out. There are a handful of episodes where you'll be like, oh, I really, do I need to watch that one? You know, like there's a couple episodes that are Jar Jar Binks focused, and no, you probably don't need to watch those.
Misa back.
But it's great because you have the list for how you should watch them in correct order, and it makes the show make a lot more sense because you don't have these random things where you have like a 3 or 4 episode story arc and you see episode 3 up from the arc, then later on you might see episode 1 and then you get the last episode and then finally you get the other middle episode. You get to watch them in order. And there you go. So now I'm adding more value to Ben's pick because Clone Wars is on Disney Plus.
Yes. And if you and if you don't watch it, we'll tell Snips.
Yes. And you don't want to piss off Snips. All right.
Jeff, I'm so glad you did this because I dipped into Clone Wars a couple times, I guess maybe early on, and I couldn't follow it. It didn't seem to have a logical.
Because you watch it in the order the episodes were aired, there's no logic
to it. They're all over the place.
Yeah.
The rebooted season 7 is the only season that's actually in chronological order.
Yeah, and I wouldn't even call season 7 a reboot. Actually, season 6 is chronological as well. But seasons 1 through 5, especially season 1, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, it's a, you know, you hear about things like this. This happened with, to a much lesser degree, and it didn't matter as much with Star Trek, but you hear it with, you know, different shows where, oh, they just decided, you know, the suits just decided to throw them out. And, you know, because the shows were already completed and, you know, they never got off the ground. They were good shows, good characters, but they never got off the ground because the audience could never really make sense of things.
That was the problem with Firefly.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And yet once it, you know, it was released where you could watch it in order, you know, people loved it. It made perfect sense and it was good. So I'm mm-hmm. glad I'll add this to my list, but in the order here designated.
Also a very Star Wars thing. To mm-hmm. watch things in a different order.
Yeah, there is that. Yeah. Yeah. When the series initially launched, they kicked it off with a full-length movie. And then the TV series started after that. So if you look at the viewing order, it's actually season 2, episode 16, season 1, episode 16, then the theatrical release, then season 3, episode 1, then season 3, episode 3, and then season 1, episode 1. That's how messed up the order is.
Mm-hmm. Yoda picked it.
Yeah.
In order, it is not.
Not anymore. All right. So, with that, wow, this has been a lot of fun and And I'm so glad that I've been able to spend my Friday morning with all of you. Dave, where can people find you?
You can find me at In Touch With iOS, intouchwithios.com. I'm on YouTube channels, youtube.com/intouchwithios. And I'm on here on Fridays, and on Tuesday nights I'm on Mac Voices Live with many of you here. And I'm also on Twitter at DaveG65 and at In Touch With iOS. Thanks, Jeff.
Awesome. So glad you're here today.
Thank you.
And Ben, where can people find you?
You can find me at Ben Rithig on Twitter. And pretty soon, as soon as I moved and actually have free time, the new BenRithig.com.
Awesome. Awesome. Good luck with the rest of your move. Chuck, where can people find you?
MacVoices.com is where you'll find everything. We do Mac Voices Live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, whatever time that is, wherever you are. And you can join in on that in the chat room at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. And on the socials, I can be found as at Chuck Joyner or at MacVoices. Thank you, Jeff.
Awesome. And aren't you glad I didn't pick that massage gun? That's my cool thing.
Oh, God.
Well, it would have depended which one you picked, Jeff. That would have been the question.
Yeah. Anyhow, Patrice, where can people find you?
I'm usually here every week on Friday for the Mac show, and also Thursdays on the Big Show. Everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the projects, the podcasts, if you want to buy me a coffee, there's a link. All of that you can find on thepatrice.com. And if you want to listen to really cool people talk about food and food-related stories and memories, I have an interview show called Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com.
Awesome. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram and YouTube. I'm Jay Gamut. I'm basically Jay Gamut everywhere. And most Tuesdays with Chuck and Dave on Mac Voices Live. Thursdays on The Big Show, most Thursday evenings with Dave again on In Touch With iOS. Here on The Mac Show on Fridays, and a new episode of The Context Machine with Brian Chaffin and me did come out on Wednesday, I think it was. So that's out there for everyone to check out as well.
It was a lot of fun. I listened to it today, and it was a lot of fun.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I did as well.
Awesome. Hey, thank you to all of you for being just so amazing and putting a smile on my face today. You all rock. And all of you that are here watching and listening live, thank you for being part of the show as well. If you have been participating in the live chat, hey, thanks for being there too. It's always fun to get to interact with everyone. And for everyone that watches or listens later on, hey, thank you for being part of this as well. All of you are absolutely awesome. TSO host is also awesome. Thank you to them for being here to support us. Give them some online love and use the discount code BTN20 when you buy web hosting or domain names through them. And let's see. Thank you to Mueller for making sure we do have people for shows every week. And let's see. Don't forget about the Daily News Show. We do need some more money coming in for that, so let's make that happen. And I'm trying to think, am I missing anyone or anything? I don't think so. Well, with that, be sure and join us next Thursday for The Big Show, and then again next Friday for The Mac Show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.